Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And I feel like I have a hangover, and not the good kind. Well, the good kind of hangover would be you had a great time last night and you're sick and tired, and but you had a good time, right? No, I have a Kavanaugh hangover, and it's going to last. Well, that's part of what we're going to talk about today. Is it going to last a generation? Not if I have anything to say about it. Now, don't get me wrong. I thought it unlikely that the Republicans wouldn't approve Kavanaugh. In fact, I'm glad that Lisa Murkowski at least jumped ship, the senator from Alaska. That was a bit of a welcome surprise, frankly, to see a single Republican take a stance against him. And don't give me that Manchin voted with him. Manchin waited for Murkowski. If Murkowski had been a no, I'm confident Manchin would have provided the deciding 51st vote. Susan Collins, as usual, disappoints us. It said that during her speech praising Kavanaugh, the website to fund her candidate opposing her got so much money, it actually broke down. They put it back up again. If you still want to contribute to Susan Collins' Democratic opponent, you'll be able to in 2020. We need to get her out of the Senate. But I still got a hangover. I still feel raw, cheated, angry, tired, and I'm sure you do too. I would say more than half the country feels this way. We know because a majority opposed Kavanaugh, just like a majority opposed Trump, just like a majority opposed the United States Senate being led by Republicans. Remember, the Democrats in the Senate represent the majority of the American people. Republicans, well, they largely represent a lot of boxy Western states with no one in them. The Dakotas get 4 senators, and all 37 million Californians get 2. That's our system. As we talked about yesterday, we have an undemocratic system. We have a system that, well, in the words of Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence, paraphrasing, is not by consent of the governed. We do not live in a democracy. We don't even live in a republic. Because in a republic, the majority chooses representatives to represent them. And in this case, the president, the Senate, the House of Representatives, and now the United States Supreme Court, they're all completely illegitimate because they weren't chosen by we the people of the United States. That's what I talked about last night, yesterday. The question now is, what do we do about it? Where do we go from here? What do you do when you're faced with tyranny, when you're faced with a minority of the population controlling a government that controls your life and my life? What are we going to do when Kavanaugh starts taking away women's rights to their own body, starts supporting throwing people in jail for free speech, starts encouraging foreign billionaires to funnel more and more money into our political system, lets the president go even after he commits treason? What do we do when he gives corporations more rights than human beings? Remember, the five conservative justices on the Supreme Court, 2 are completely illegitimate. Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh were not chosen by the president that Americans wanted, nor chosen by the senators Americans want it. Now, that's our system of government, except that due to the machinations of Mitch McConnell and the Republicans, they cheated. They took long-time standard principles of government, and they threw them out the window. The most important being, of course, the refusal to let a president nominate a Supreme Court justice. The problem wasn't Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland was a very mild-mannered, reasonable, mildly liberal chief judge of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, the most important judge on the most important court outside the Supreme Court. Even Republicans had nothing against Merrick Garland. He was even an older judge. He wouldn't last as long in office. They really couldn't think of anything against him. But it wasn't about him. They didn't give Merrick Garland a hearing and vote him down. No, instead, they refused to allow Barack Obama to appoint any Supreme Court justice, no matter who it is. Now, that has never been done in American history. It's important when recognizing the coup d'etat in which we face that this is not something that's standard procedure. This is not something that's normal constitutional republic kind of stuff. This is a coup. This is an intentional, lawless taking over of the government. And in ending the filibuster on Supreme Court nominees, the Republicans made sure that the senators that vote don't represent a majority of the country. As I mentioned yesterday, in even those candidates who did not win the popular vote, those presidents, well, George Bush in his first term didn't have any justices appointed, although we'll get to Bush in a second. But the other three, Benjamin Harrison, Rutherford B. Hayes, John Quincy Adams, all of them had their Senate approve their nominees by acclamation, unanimous, or by at least an 80% vote. They were not chosen by minority of voters. So now if there's a 5-4 decision, and the five are the five conservative justices, we should refer to it as a 4-3 decision by the legitimate members of the Supreme Court. We should make clear that it should have no precedental value. It should be meaningless, except to the extent that the state has the force to make it happen. When I was in the former Soviet Union, I broke Soviet laws. I had no respect for Soviet laws. I went to places I wasn't allowed to go, and I did so without a moral qualm one bit or the other. I knew that the Soviet government was an illegitimate government not chosen by the people. I did not respect its laws. Now, I still had to be careful. I knew that going up against an illegitimate government could get me in trouble. I was careful, and I am no way advocating that people take the law into their own hands. But as citizens, we need to remember this is not a legitimate president. This is not a legitimate Congress. This is not a legitimate Supreme Court. And we shouldn't confer upon them titles of legitimacy. I will not put the word president with the word Trump, because he's not only is he not my president, he's not America's president. And that's really important. Oh, he is in some technical legal sense, but he wasn't chosen by we the people. And we have to keep remembering that. You know, when Rutherford B. Hayes was installed again by Republicans, it's interesting, every single chance. So as long as there's been a two-party system, the four presidents chosen illegitimately were all Republicans. But when Rutherford B. Hayes was installed by the Republicans using troops in 1876 against the will of the majority of Americans who chose Samuel Tilden, he was called Rutherford B. Hayes based on the fraud of his election for his entire tenure there. Americans understood that he was illegitimate, and he understood that he had to rule carefully because he didn't have the votes of we the people. What do we do about all this? What do we do about the fact that Brett Kavanaugh almost certainly lied under oath? The first thing we have to remember is that the Republican Party is no longer a party of principle. No longer a party like the Democratic Party that strives to get us a certain result and believes in certain principles. The Republican Party is a power-hungry, what's the right word? Usurper, I guess, because they don't have the votes of we the people behind them. And the question will be, in the upcoming race, what will the American people vote for? If the American people choose, the majority of them now, is the majority of the American people choose the House of Representatives, and which is terribly gerrymandered. We know there's about a 50-seat Republican advantage based solely on, again, manipulating the system, rigging the game. But if the American people choose Republicans to run the House of Representatives, then that will be a way to ratify what's been done. And if you vote for Republicans, or if you don't vote, or if you don't get out and organize the vote, you are saying you don't mind if we're no longer a democracy. It doesn't faze you. After the Kavanaugh vote, there was a large group of people protesting angrily at the U.S. Supreme Court. And I share their anger. I share their rage. But I was also wondering if every one of them had worked to elect Democrats in 2016. I wondered if every one of them was going to work to elect Democrats in 2018. I wonder if every one of them had protested before the event and not just after the event. And I'm told that that's true for most of them. And that's good. I am not against protests. But protests have to lead to a legislative result to be effective. The greatest protest in American history was almost no doubt, I think scholars would agree, the 1963 March on Washington, organized by Martin Luther King and others. But the march in and of itself did not achieve legislative results. The march gathered people together, got people of goodwill, let people know that other people were fighting for their cause. But at the end of the day, what happened next was more important than the march. People went home, they organized, they won the elections of 1964 in a landslide. They lobbied their state and federal elected officials, and they got past the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. It was those two laws that ended Jim Crow, not the march. Those two laws. One of which, the Voting Rights Act, the foundation of the idea that every American should vote, has already been repealed by five unelected judges of the Supreme Court, all the conservatives. Now understand, just to give you an example of how bad this tyranny can be, the Voting Rights Act was reaffirmed as recently as, was it 02, it was 04, it was in the 2000s, by 98-0 in the Senate. Unanimous. Unanimously, the American people's elected representatives agreed that African Americans should have a right to vote. But five unelected members of the Supreme Court chose the president, George Bush, against the will of the American people, and now chose that, hey, blacks don't really need to vote. This is what tyrants do. And at a time when Republicans are saying we should all come together as Americans, they remind me of someone who cheats at a game and then wants to shake your hand. We're not going to shake that hand. Republicans are un-American in the way they have usurped power against basic democratic rules and norms. They are acting against the best traditions of America, and we won't shake their hands until we have reasserted majority power in America. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it Super Nerd? No, it's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. When conservatives attack, Mark Levine is ready, Constitution in hand. And here's our favorite lawyer now.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Where do we go post-Kavanaugh? What do we do next? How do we take this depression and rage and channel it into effective political action? Let's go to Rob, line 3 in Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Hey, I do want to address the whole thing about the rage. And the rage is not rage for the sake of rage, but it is about fairness. I mean, you got to add all this stuff up. You know, was it fair that they changed the vote from 60 to 51, you know, out of the 100 senators and basically misrepresented everyone? You know, was it fair that Obama's nomination was delayed for over a year?
You know, prevented, denied. It wasn't delayed. It was denied. Just to be clear.
Denied, exactly.
Right.
And let's get on to taxes. Is it fair that, you know, dividends are only taxed at 15% or we have two tax codes for business? And, you know, if corporations are people, then we should have the same tax code for everyone. Everyone should be under the same, you know, tax brackets and whatever. We should all be paying the same thing.
You know, I'll tell you who it's also unfair to, and people need to wake up, is the tens of millions of Americans who've been sexually assaulted or victims of assault or domestic violence. The Republicans have said quite clearly that if you're a victim or if you're a woman, you need to just shut the hell up, take the rape and accept it, because they will always believe the accuser and they will refuse to investigate to see whether allegations are proper or not. So they get the sexual predator vote, but people have a right to be very, very angry about who the Republican Party has become.
And absolutely, and I brought one other item up with you about, like, the whole provisional ballot thing coming up, you know, and how we should have follow-up from each state. I think people who get a provisional ballot should make a little noise. Don't confront your, you know, poll worker. They're just a worker. But you should go on the outside and say, hey, I got a provisional ballot. Let me know if you got it. Just kind of make it a known thing, because this stuff has to be looked at. Because I have a funny feeling. Republicans are showing you who they are. They're trying to throw everyone off the ballots. Yeah, they only have to shave a couple percentages off to, you know, pull off another miracle win. And that's what bothers
me. Well, so
I think they have it in place.
In order to have a rule by the minority, they've had to do many, many, many things, okay? The Electoral College, sure. Gerrymandering, definitely. They've taken over state legislators so that, you know, through the Koch brothers funneling billions of dollars, which then causes the state legislatures to gerrymander the House districts, which, by the way, we can undo. That's why people have to vote up and down the ballot for Democrats. Your state legislatures matter, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. But you're absolutely right, Rob. They're also trying to take away your right to vote. They're trying to particularly take away the right to vote to minorities. That's why in Georgia, in majority black counties, they're trying to restrict the number of voting places. They're trying to keep young people from voting. They're trying to make it really, really hard for college students to vote because they know that college students tend to support Democrats. So it's regards to provisional ballots. If you are told that you have to get a provisional ballot, the first thing I would do is call the voter protection hotline. Your local Democratic Party will give you a number that they're different because there's 50 states. Call that hotline and try not to cast a provisional ballot if you can help it. See if through the lawyers the Democratic Party provides, they can persuade those local officials to let you cast a real ballot. But if you're forced to cast a provisional ballot, make sure you follow up. In Virginia, for example, you can't just cast a provisional ballot and walk away. You have to come back in 2 days and reaffirm that that is your ballot. Every state is different, but we must absolutely, Rob, you're right. Protect the right to vote. Honestly, it's the only right we have left. With a legislative, executive, and judicial branch entirely controlled by a minority of Americans, the only way we're ever going to get America to become a democracy or a republic again is to elect a supermajority to Congress in 1 month. This is Mark Levine. I'll be right back right after this.
When got a conservative who casually misquotes the Bible and the Constitution? Send him to school with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. What do we do post-Kavanaugh? Well, first of all, we rip the face off of those Republicans who claim they believe in American democracy. You know, the ones that get all teary-eyed saluting the flag as they're stomping on the republic that the flag stands for. The Republican Party is out for power. And they're not out for getting it in a democratic way based on we the people. And to the extent that any Republicans claim they were, this Kavanaugh episode makes clear they are not. Unless you have a Republican like Lisa Murkowski of Alaska or some state or local official that condemned this process or insisted that Merrick Garland be approved, this is a clear grab of power. During the 1990s, I'm sure you remember, Republicans argued that the reason why Bill Clinton had to be impeached and removed from office had nothing to do with the fact that he had a consensual sexual liaison in the White House. One, by the way, that one Brett Kavanaugh was determined to get in all its raw specificity. He really, really wanted to embarrass the president, and he insisted on anatomical details and all this pornographic stuff. He insisted the American people see all that. That was Brett Kavanaugh that did that. But the argument was, yeah, he had consensual sex. Of course, that's legal. But he lied about it under oath. Now, first comes the question of whether a president can be sued. Interestingly enough, Brett Kavanaugh said presidents can't be sued. Bill Clinton was sued by a right-wing outfit that supported Paula Jones. He was forced to testify under oath, even though he didn't want to. Again, this is a civil matter. This wasn't about his fitness as president of the United States. This wasn't about treason or bribery. This was about a consensual sex act. Did he lie under oath? Well, Bill Clinton says he did not. He said he did not have sexual intercourse with that woman. Most legal scholars would say that wasn't a lie, but it was a misdirection because he had some form of sexual contact, even if it wasn't sexual intercourse. The point is that misdirection about whether or not he committed adultery was considered so serious, we have to remove a sitting president of the United States. Fast forward to Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh, I believe can be shown, made several lies under oath. Lies not about something that had nothing to do with his position, but lies in order to get his job. He wasn't forced to testify under oath in some secondary proceeding. He lied directly to the United States Senate, to the Senate Judiciary Committee. What did he lie about? Well, let's start even before the sexual assault allegations. He lied about when he claimed not to receiving a stolen document from a Republican by the name of Manny Miranda who stole Democratic secret documents, confidential documents, on how they were going to oppose Republican nominees for the court. In other words, Manny Miranda did exactly what the Watergate burglars did. And not only did Brett Kavanaugh cover it up, like Richard Nixon, he actively used the information and then lied about it under oath to the Senate. That's lie number one. Lie number two, he lied about which judges he helped push through as the Bush judge guy. Again, he lied until his emails came out showing it. By the way, he still has only disclosed 10% of his papers. We will eventually get his papers, and he should be investigated on those. And then, of course, there is the sexual assault allegations. Now, obviously, those were not explored as fully as they should have been. The president limited the FBI in their exploration. But the important thing is not what can or cannot be proven from 35 years ago. I agree that it would be not enough to convict Brett Kavanaugh beyond a reasonable doubt and send him to prison based on Dr. Christine Ford's testimony alone. Of course, not going to prison and getting on the United States Supreme Court are very different standards. Lots of people in America haven't committed enough crimes to go to prison, but still shouldn't be on the U.S. Supreme Court. But the question arose, what if he lied not 35 years ago, but last week? What if he lied last week again to the Senate Judiciary Committee? What if he lied about his drinking habits? Well, interestingly, both Jeff Flake and, yes, Donald Trump said if he lied under oath, that's enough. That's enough to keep him from getting on the court. Well, Brett Kavanaugh said he didn't drink that much that often. He very much downplayed his drinking habits. He said he had a little too often occasionally, never out of control. But we know that there are dozens of witnesses that say that that's a lie. Okay, out of control, That's a subjective standard. What about Debbie Ramirez, the second woman that came forward to allege a sexual assault, sexual contact, sexual touching? They allege that they all got her drunk and then he disrobed and basically forced his genitalia in her face. Well, what's interesting about that is that Brett Kavanaugh testified that he didn't know anything about that allegation. He knew nothing about it until he read it in the New Yorker. Now, that was his testimony under oath. We know that's not true. We have emails from Brett Kavanaugh asking around for women to say that he didn't do what he did to Debbie Ramirez before the New Yorker article came out. That's actually an easily provable lie under oath. So, can a president lie about sleeping with someone other than his wife? The Republicans say no. Even though it wasn't technically a lie, he should be removed from office. But in a case where a nominee lied in order to get his office, just last week, the president said, we don't care about those things. Yeah, you can lie to us all the time. Our president lies all the time. We lie all the time. Lies only matter if they're done by Democrats. Sexual assault only matters if it's done by Democrats. Brett Kavanaugh could have raped Dr. Ford, and it's okay with us. Boys will be boys. But if Al Franken touched a woman inappropriately, well, if he resigned, then he's, I forget what Donald Trump said. I think he said he folded like a pack of wet noodles or something. To Republicans, holding sexual predators responsible for their acts is wrong, unless they're Democrats. And if the Democrats accept responsibility, well, that's wrong too. We need to remember this. Women need to remember this. Men need to remember this. All people of goodwill need to remember this as we go to the polls. This is not a question of two parties disagreeing on tax cuts. We do disagree on tax cuts, and that's a fair thing to talk about. But Republicans are acting like, okay, yes, we stole everything. It's like I can imagine white people saying to Native Americans, yes, we stole all your land. Yes, we killed all your family. Yes, African Americans, we enslaved you and kept you in poverty for centuries. But you need to get over it. You need to get over it. Right after stealing your land, you need to shake our hands and be nice. Right? Someone walks up and punches you in the face out of the blue. You start to punch back. You're like, wait a minute, can't we all get along? That's how I feel about the Republican Party today. The war the Republican Party has declared against the American people has just begun. Even conservatives are saying there's more anger now between Americans than at any time since the Civil War. And if there's one way and only one legal way to fight back, and that's at the ballot box. So yes, you have to vote, but you got to do more than vote. You've got to go out and register others to vote. The voting deadlines to register this November are coming up. Georgia's is today. Virginia's is next week. Every state is a little bit different. If you are not 150% sure that you're registered to vote, go to vote.org. Check your registration. It takes a minute. Check your registration. Make sure you're in there good. You could do it in the commercial break, vote.org. And if you're not, you can register there in 2 minutes to vote. And you got that friend, the one that moved, that may or may not be registered, call that friend. Make sure that friend, that family member, registers to vote. Voting is the only legal, nonviolent way to fight back and to get our country back. It's the only way. Now, hanging on the line is Reggie, line one from Georgia. Reggie, I understand you may have registered to vote today. Is that right?
Well, it's like I'll try, man, but I can't guarantee you any promises.
Well, I'm going to hold you to it, whether you guarantee it
or not. And I'll tell you, this is common, Mark, actually. This is Mark Romoli, the producer. Yeah. Some things that happen to people. Reggie does not have a driver's license, so we're trying to figure out how he can get the proper form of ID. But, you know, like you said, Mark, he has to find his birth certificate or some other form of ID.
I'll tell you what, Georgia has a way that you can go to centers and get a picture ID for free. I happen to know about Georgia because it was part of a state case. Offline, Reggie, I'll find you where that place is, and if you have transportation to get there, then call the local Democratic Party, or I'll call them. We'll make sure that you get there. I want to make sure, Reggie, that you go out and register to vote, all right?
All right.
I'm determined to get you there. All right, now tell me what you want to say about Kavanaugh.
Well, why conservative women, or certain conservative women, like such as Susan Collins, along with, you know, the usual prime suspects of talk radio and TV, are defending this man in order to have his confirmation as Senate judge fully secured, as the next Senate judge fully secured.
Well, Susan Collins, unfortunately, like some women, is a Republican first and an American second. She clearly is determined to do what her party wants her to do, and she did. And you look, there are people who allow themselves to be fooled. So I'm sure Susan Collins looked at the FBI investigation, and rather than ask the questions that I just asked, namely, did the guy lie under oath, she said, well, the FBI only interviewed 9 people, and those 9 people did not give proof beyond a reasonable doubt that Kavanaugh is a sexual assaulter, which, again, is not the standard. It's the standard to convict of a crime, not the standard to become a Supreme Court justice. And rather than talk about the insufficiency of the investigation, she just went along and accepted it because that's what her party leaders want her to do. I should note, by the way, the FBI investigation, which was allowed a week, finished in 5 days. In those 5 days, they interviewed 9 witnesses. Now, the FBI has thousands, tens of thousands of agents all across the United States, and they interviewed, on average, less than 2 people a day. In the entire day, they got 2 interviews done, on average. 4 days of 2 and 1 day of 1. Now, that is not a pedal-to-the-metal full investigation. And Susan Collins knows this, but she's a Republican, and she's loyal to her party. And I wish I had a better answer, but I don't know Susan Collins. And that's all I got for you, Reggie.
And they keep saying that we're on the far left are virtually unhinged, when it's them on the right that are virtually unhinged.
Well, what they are is they're power hungry. You know, yeah. I remember back in 2009, 2010, when the Republicans sent their mobs out, right? We had the whole Tea Party movement, which, by the way, doesn't exist anymore, because the Tea Party movement claimed to care about the debt, but they never cared about the debt because the debt skyrocketed under Donald Trump. But they had their people out there, and you know what? They had every right to get out there. But rather than make arguments about rationality or policies, they would, you know, Barack Obama puppets that they set on fire.
Right.
Things like that. It wasn't about, hey, we disagree for this reason. And I think that's the difference. We are the party of logic and reason, and they're the party of emotion, hate, and fear. And that's, hate and fear can be powerful motivators. Can't deny it.
And I'm glad that you and Leslie go on Fox and debate these people and challenge them. Although you fight back, you tend to fight back a wee bit harder or more verbally aggressively than she does.
Yeah.
Because she gets scolded every time she starts telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why they have her on more than me. Because they probably have her on more than me, because I tend to attack them pretty hard.
That's good. I'm glad. I wish you would take your example and do that to them whenever they start to scold her for telling the truth.
Well, it's hard. We do not have progressive radio, is about 2% of radio.
Right.
95% is conservative.
Right.
And honestly, we've got progressive people who put millions of dollars into a TV ad in New Jersey for 30 seconds or whatever, but don't put the money in to help progressive radio. So we do need some more support. You're absolutely right. Thanks for your call, Reggie. I appreciate it.
So you think the defense should be restored?
I think what?
Do you think that the fairness doctrine, do you agree with Leslie and Marky Mark Grimaldi, your namesake, that the fairness doctrine should be restored to media in general, specifically talk radio itself in particular?
I'll tell you, I don't know about that. It's a hard thing to police. I do think we've got a real problem, and that may be the right answer. There may be other answers too. Part of the answer may be that progressives need to just buy radio stations. There are rich progressive people out there. I think it's hard to have a fairness doctrine today when there's, you know, thousands and thousands of media outlets. The problem, of course, is that, you know, Google, if you're a liberal, will send you to all these liberal outlets. If you're conservative, they send you all conservative outlets. We are living in two Americas like never before since the Civil War.
Right.
And I don't know. The fairness doctrine may be a way to fight it, but there may be better ways. At this point, we just need to win. And we need to win so we can take back and reinstate democracy in America.
Right, but to give equal time to each side.
Right, right. No, I hear you, Reggie. I'm not necessarily against it. I'd have to think about it. It's been gone for a long time, and it'll be really hard to reinstate without obviously having a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president. But thanks for your call, Reggie. I appreciate it. Let's take a quick break. I got a couple more callers on the line. 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it super nerd? No, it's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Reggie from Georgia, please call back the show. My producer, Mark Romaldi, will give you the phone number of someone who will absolutely make sure that you get registered to vote. It's the Stacey Abrams campaign. Please call back and get that phone number. I'm depending on you, Reggie. Number two, I posted in Facebook a link to Heidi Heitkamp, who made a very brave decision. Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, probably the single most vulnerable Democrat running for re-election in a month. And she voted no on Kavanaugh. Very, very risky move in North Dakota. I have a link where she is asking for funds to support her. Please do that. All right, let's go. A couple callers real quick. We've got Mark in San Francisco on line three. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Mark, I'm really upset about this tax cut and all the trillions of dollars that we're in debt for by this Republican Party that said that, you know, they're screaming about the debt over and over again. And now we go into debt to give millionaires and billionaires and corporations tax cuts, and we've got trillions of dollars of debt. This is an outrage, absolute outrage.
It is an outrage, and it's one that's frankly getting, like most things in the Trump era, getting buried under a number of outrages. But that is the essence of what the Republican Party is about. It's about fleecing you and me and middle-class people and ordinary people and giving all the money, mostly to multinational corporations, of which one-third of which aren't even owned by American citizens. So now we are going to have the largest debt since World War II. And that the same party that used to argue, the Tea Party used to say they cared about the debt, well, this just proves that they don't. But thanks for your call, Mark. I appreciate it. Michael from the Bronx, we have very little time. Be very quick, please.
Mark, you said that he most likely committed perjury. Kavanaugh did commit perjury, and that was in the drinking issue. The initial testimony he gave, he denied any sexcapades. He denied ever engaging drinking in high school or in college.
Let me end on this, Michael, because we're running out of time. The investigations will continue. If the Democrats take the House, and it's an if, it's not a certainty unless all of you make it happen, they will no doubt investigate Kavanaugh, and if they prove perjury, they should impeach him and at least try to remove him from office. This is Mark Levine signing off.